education is one of our pillars for our organization, along with stewardship and outreach. And that's one of the major pillars for what we do. If it doesn't fall on one of those, we shouldn't be working on it every day. So I think you guys, Toyota guys, I can't remember.
Oh, yeah.
You are. Yeah, exactly. So,
Lexus, but
okay. Well, I feel like I'm really defending myself now, but.
All right, my favorite question, Milwaukee or DeWalt?
So I'm a DeWalt.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Overland Weekly, episode number 11. I am Davey, along here with my trusty co-host, John. What's going on, John?
I've been kicked out of my usual studio spot. Shares a wall with the baby's new bedroom, so. We're in the garage that I still have not organized.
John texted me earlier and said the baby is teething, so I don't know how this is going to work out tonight. She's not real happy. And, well, we see how it worked out. You're the one that got displaced.
Yeah, we won't tell the wife that my phone's on Do Not Disturb. So.
Yeah, well, she can come downstairs and find you. She's not that far away. Yeah. Oh, man. So what's happening? You guys did a little family camping trip. Was this a no phones, no tech kind of family getaway?
It was. We hit up Cedars of Lebanon State Park, 40 minutes outside of Nashville, door to door, which was really nice. And yeah, we pledged to not have our phones out. Of course, we were still taking pictures, but it was nice. Lots of nice trails, a couple of very interesting sinkholes. And a ton of cedar trees, so the bugs actually weren't that bad. Drew loved it. She did not sleep very well, but she had a blast during the day. There's a video that my wife posted on her Instagram of me trying to make her stroller go down the trails that we were on, and it didn't work out.
A new form of overlanding, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was a great time, though. I'm excited. And what was most exciting is we got home, and the wife was like, should we buy a bigger camper? Which told me that she had a great time. So,
hey, you want to build one too? I mean, we'll build two at the same time. You know, I'm working on my project.
So. Yeah, maybe I'll commission you to build mine.
Well, I had a good weekend. We had the Trail Fest by Southern Four Wheel Drive Association. Down at Colmont, so that was a good time. A couple hundred rigs down there, and our club, the STLCA, was volunteered as trail leaders for that. So that was good. Always a good time at Colmont.
Yes.
All right. So we've got a guest that I want to get in here, but I do want to talk about one thing before we bring him on. This is. Kind of a PSA that we need to discuss here. If you have not seen the news on what is happening in the state of Alabama with the legislation down there against private off-road parks, you can Google it. I'm not going to go into all the details here, but essentially there is legislation that is currently in the state session there that. It doesn't specifically say they're banning private off-road parks, but it makes it very, very difficult for a private off-road park to operate. There's some insurance restrictions and other restrictions, and there's a lot of speculation into what caused it and the different senators and representatives that introduced it. Not going to go into all that, but needless to say, it's, as it often is, a few bad apples that are really causing issues for everybody else. And that's rough. And if you're saying, well, you know, I don't live in Alabama, this doesn't affect me. Boy, I tell you what, this stuff unfortunately just seems to spread like wildfire when these kind of things happen. And we've seen it happen here in Tennessee. So I would encourage you to get involved. There's petitions online. You can reach out to those state senators and state reps and let your opinion be known. Go read the bill. It's only about 4 pages long, so you can educate yourself on the matter and what I'm speaking about. So with that said, talking about trail closings, our guest tonight is very much a proponent of keeping these trails open and educating folks to take personal responsibility in order to continue to keep these trails open and maintain and grow trails. So let me add into the room here Mr. Mike Sipe, the Communications and Marketing Director from Tread Lightly. Welcome, Mike.
How's it going today?
Hey.
Good, my friend. Thank you for jumping on here with us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So, Mike, I think Tread Lightly is one of those organizations that when you say the name, people have heard the name. It's been around a long time now. They may not know everything you do, but they're at least familiar with the name or with the term. I mean, in some ways, it's Tread Lightly is a lifestyle or a way of mannerism on the trail. But what we really wanted to do tonight is to talk to you and kind of learn some more of the history of the organization and then bring it up to current day as to the different initiatives, campaigns, and how people get involved with this. Because we have just seen, we talked about it over the last year, more. Unfortunately, it's more trails that we're seeing closed than we're seeing open, and we can't prevent it all. But education and personal responsibility goes a long way in preventing
that. Yeah, totally. And Tread Lightly, promoting it's all about sustainability, right? And that's, I just heard you talking before the intro, and I might have been listening in on that. And a lot of it is, having that for future generations, having the availability to be off road. And, you're right. That's that one or few percent of everybody. There's a bad apple in each batch. But, Tread Lightly, we're here to support responsible use of motorized vehicles and recreating outdoors. It's very important to follow the Tread principles, which we'll get into later. But, if you want to talk a little bit about history, I can certainly provide some of that info to you.
Well, we'll get into that. Before we dive into to the history of the organization, give us kind of a little spiel on your background. I know that you've been involved in the off-road community with some other companies and professionally. So tell us what you've done and kind of how you ended up where you are today with Tread Lightly.
Sure. I originally started in the automotive industry here in Southeast Michigan. Worked for a company named Tenneco. Spent about 24 years with them. Short little stint with them. but great time, great experience. I don't miss it for anything. I mean, I don't miss it for anything. I learned a lot and it was a great experience. It got me to where I'm at today. And so for about 10, 11 years, I was affiliated with the Rancho Suspension brand, brand. Yeah, a lot of people know that brand. 69-year-old brand. I quit counting last year. An opportunity came up to work with Tread Lightly and, couldn't miss the opportunity. So there were some interviews and just last summer took the job with the team. It's been a great experience. Nothing like going from a 25,000 person organization or employee organization to 15. So definitely making the difference. And not that I wasn't before, and working with a legacy brand, there was a lot of heavy lifting too by that small team. There was only five of us, but had that big corporate hierarchy, man. I don't miss that at all. Not that we don't need corporations, but it sure is fun working for a small business.
Yeah, a lot of folks, like you said, there's 15 employees now at Tread Lightly, and I think that's double what it was a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
It's really impressive what a small number of folks are getting to accomplish. And I have to assume that's in large part to the volunteer force that you have supplementing you all.
Huge. Yeah. So we grew from roughly seven employees in 2020 to over 15. Actually, we're getting ready to hire another employee up in the Seattle area. We just posted the job and got some great interviews this week. Some great, great candidates. It's awesome. Cool. So many qualified people out there. It's amazing. Just the volunteer reach then that comes along with that. So most of those new heads were program managers that we placed throughout the U.S. For instance, we've got Scott Ammerman over in Pennsylvania. We've got Lowell down in the Region 8 area. So he covers pretty much from South Carolina all the way over to Texas down to Florida. And then we got a bunch of people out west in the hotbeds out there, you know, where there's a lot of projects, you know, out Utah, Arizona, California, you name it out west. There's a lot of activity going on out there. So, but what comes along with that is volunteers. We had over 5,000 volunteers involved last year, which is huge,
wow.
Huge deal for Tread Lightly. Because when it comes to matching with grants, and you got to have those volunteer hours, it's a direct match to that, and it allows us to get more funding.
Very cool.
Yeah, no, it's good stuff. We are stoked, and 2024 is going to be a huge year for us as well.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you worked with Rancho a little bit, and then that you used that to get into Tread Lightly in some ways. Was there any sort of personal off-road vehicles that you have that you saw Tread Lightly and you're like, I want to do that because I do this?
Sure. So I was fortunately, you know, I was the brand manager for Rancho. So I was blessed with a few vehicles and kind of got spoiled. And I actually had already built a 2008 Wrangler JK and, you know, got rid of that immediately when I landed into the Rancho job back then. And it's like, well, I got a Bronco and I got a JL. But yeah, let's rock these. We even had a Gladiator and Fleet and a Super Duty. We had a bunch of different vehicles, but new opportunities bring new vehicles. So I picked up a JT, a Gladiator, drove it around stock Rubicon for probably 4 or 5 months. Just loved that fuel economy. It was 19 miles per gallon. Since then, I've now re-geared it with 513s and 37s, full armor, got the bumper, the winch, had to put new shocks on it. Did a leveling kit. So, yeah, it just never ends, you know. And
what are you, about 10 miles a gallon now?
Yeah, maybe 14 on a good day. So the 513s definitely eat up some fuel, but, you know.
Well, that's still better than John and I are doing.
So. Okay, well, there you go. Yeah. I figure I'm going to load it.
Yeah. My license plate says 10 miles per gallon for a reason.
Yeah, I get it totally. And so I've got a rooftop rack that's going to go on the back and, I'm going to be using it in two ways. I've got a nice Thule Tapui fold-out tent for it. But then I've also got a Gazelle and a Gazelle Gazebo. So I kind of – depends on what we're doing. If we're going to be, you know, at a spot and then hitting different spots wheeling for 3-4 days, I'm going to bring that tent and just throw it out in the middle of the field, you know. But if we're blasting and gas and going from different spots, I'm throwing a rooftop tent on and we're just going to go. So, yeah, it's been a great vehicle. Full transparency, I drove a lot of different JTs, and I've driven a lot of Jeeps over the years, and some are really good, and some are really bad. So I think I drove 7 JTs and finally found the one that I wanted. But dang. It's a curse. Yeah, well, so Tenneco's a shop company, and in my career, I was a shop tuner at one point in my career.
Gotcha.
Yeah, the last vehicle I tuned on was, I believe it was the The H2 truck, when they had the H2T, that was the last vehicle at GM. Yeah. I was an engineer going back and forth to Milford, Michigan, tuning shops. Yeah. That was one of the last packages. And honestly, that's where I kind of got the off-road bug a little bit. Sure. We had to do some testing. But so it's a curse. I say I have an educated ass, and it's horrible. I mean, I can't get in a vehicle without picking it apart. So it's tough. Vehicle dynamics curse, for sure. So
I'd love you and Perry Parts to hook up and chat bump stops.
Absolutely. Yeah. We definitely tuned some Jones bumpers back in the day, and it was an adventure for sure. So, but all these things got me to where I'm at today though. So it's been exciting, and yeah, seven JTs.
Very cool.
Now, was that seven, you owned seven, or you test drove?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's, you know, some of them have those steering gear issues. At the time, kind of refused to buy a new one, so I was looking for a 22. There's a couple of things I wanted. I wanted the adaptive cruise control because I was going to be on the highway a lot, and I just really love that feature.
It's a game changer.
It is. It really is. I've done a lot of road trips with it, and it's day and night when it comes to you. I swear it's an extra 3 hours of driving just because you're not as fatigued, you know, from it. So, but I just kept driving these 22s. I'm like, nope. And my wife would drive with me. She's like, I know what you're going to say. Your steering wheel's going like this. So
it's so funny because we were talking earlier before we started how we both worked in Michigan Automotive, and I'm the same way. You kind of know once you're in it, you know a little bit more than the average consumer, and you kind of know the back end of the game, and you'll get into a vehicle and you're like, nah, and you know exactly why. So
absolutely.
I get you. Know, you. I get you.
The dealership's like, oh, we can fix that. Never mind.
No,
okay.
No, that's good. You're going to put the same part back in, and yeah, then we're going to be in the same place. Yeah. So
I mean, just overall, I think, are you guys Toyota guys? I can't remember.
Oh, yeah.
You are. Yeah, exactly. So,
actually, know, Lexus, but
okay. Well, I feel like I'm really defending myself now, but you know, there's a lot of really good Jeeps out there too. So,
sure.
But and I've done a lot of work with Jeeps since even since I started working with Rancho before, and now Tread Lightly. So, do a little bit of stuff with Jeep Jamboree USA on the side as well. So,
cool.
I might be out there. So when I was off for the summer, I did a little stint out there with them on the 24 media launch. That was a blast. So
that's awesome. And,
yeah, it was a good time. It definitely a great summer last summer, but man, Matt Caldwell called and says, hey, you interested in a job at Tread Lightly? And here we are. So
love
awesome.
It.
Yeah. Fun story.
All right. So kind of shifted on to the Tread Lightly story here. Mike, walk us through kind of a brief overview of the organization's history, because I think what surprised me, this is a really odd turn of events that you have an organization that started as a branch of the U.S. government, or not a branch of, it was a campaign within the U.S. Forest Service.
Yeah.
And then got spun out as a nonprofit in the private sector. That just doesn't happen every day.
No, it doesn't. So the deal is, as I understand it, is they were taking the organization from being privately funded by the U.S. Forest Service to be able to be funded through a 501c3 or nonprofit. And then you can start seeking membership for funding grants throughout the U.S. You can also, I mean, get state grants. BLM can get involved in as well. And then you can also go get corporate funding. So there's three sources of income when you look at that from there. So it's actually a really good idea, in my opinion, because it allows us to go out and continue to grow.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's one of those things that I was going to say, I don't know if it could happen in our modern political climate, and that's not taking either side, but for the government to look at it and say this would be better off for the people if we let it go and grow on its own.
Yeah. I don't know if we'd hear that these days, but yeah. Definitely. So this is a little bit older slide. Obviously we're a little bit older than 25 years.
I think yes.
The team just celebrated their 35th. Yeah, they started. So we always say 1990 is when we started officially. And really the organization was started, and I just learned this myself, having only been here 8 months. 1985, what was really big in 85, ATVs were coming out. And three-wheelers were just dominating the scene at the time. And nobody knew what to do with these things. But they did know that they had a lot of messaging that needed to come to these people that were recreating outdoors. And that's where the Tread Principles came from, and that acronym, and the whole basis behind it. Fast forward to today, and we look at things like UTVs, and we look at things like, you know, any you know, recreation out there, Bronco owners, there are a bunch of new operators out there too. So getting that message out there is still just as important as it was in 1985.
Yeah. These Tread Principles, to my knowledge, they haven't changed, since back then. And like I said, I was just at this, event this weekend at Comont, which is a park that's owned by the city of Comont. It's a municipally owned park. And right there, as soon as you walk into their big pavilion, they've got they've got five different metal signs for the five Tread Principles that are all hung up there. And it's just one of those things that they were working with a group just this weekend with some kids, teaching them different games to remember the Tread Principles. And it's like you said, it's not just we come at it from an off-road perspective, but there's mountain bikes, there's boating, there's hiking, there's geocaching, there's all these different things that are influenced by Tread Lightly.
Yeah, we always say if it's got a motor, an engine, we're in. You know, that's really what we e-bikes, you know, jet skis, snowmobiles. Hell, if you got a mini bike and you're on the trail, as long as you have the right permits, we're supporting you. You know, so. we're all in on everything to do with
motorized. There was a group of those off-road mowers out there this weekend. And that's, man, that is so freaking cool. Yeah.
They're insane. I'm like, what do you do if you roll? I mean, it's crazy. They've got all the flex on that front yes. axle, you know. I think that helps them a lot, but not in the rear. Not in the rear. So I'm a little too old for that now.
Yeah, it may be more of a young man's game with that.
I hear you.
I'm not going to lie. I've kind of ruined my Facebook Marketplace algorithm, and it's just a bunch of free ride-on mowers. If I call you up for your trailer one day, Davey, just don't ask any questions.
No questions asked, yeah. So you've got the tread principles, and now you guys have this this Tread Lightly 101 program, yes. Which is online, which anyone can go and sign up for and take instantly. And if you're thinking, well, that sounds boring, you know, it's just going to be the obvious answers. I took that course a couple of weeks ago, and I missed some. It made me rethink how to go about thinking about some of these different scenarios. So yeah, it's a really cool thing.
Yeah. So we're encouraging everybody to go out there and check it out. I mean, it's actually pretty informative. I took it immediately, obviously, when I started, you know, just brush up my skills, and I've taken the Tread Trainer course as well, you know, but it's definitely a good, and it's a little beyond a 101. It actually is like, hey, this is stuff I can remember, need to remember, didn't realize that. And everybody gets a little bit of something out of it every time they take it.
Yeah. Speaking of the Tread Trainer, so that, I believe, is kind of the primary way that you guys have spread the word, so to speak. So tell us how that program works and the whole teach the teacher kind of mentality of it.
Yeah, you nailed it right there. It's really, we're training Tread trainers through our organization, part of the organization, directly with our staff. And then they're out there training trainers who are then training people. And it's really, I always call it a big pyramid, right? And it's almost the Amway approach, you know? But it really works well for us because, you know, there's no better way to spread the word than to educate people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talk about it and we haven't really covered it, but education is one of our pillars for our organization, along with stewardship and outreach. And that's one of the major pillars for what we do. If it doesn't fall on one of those, we shouldn't be working on it every day. So, so there's no better way to spread the message, though, like I said, is than, you know, equipped enthusiasts that are out there that know the information and can spread the word. So it's vital to what we do, and it's how we go to work every day.
Yeah, and you know, I know that a lot of those train the trainer programs happen across the country with different clubs and events. But I also know that you have an online version of that with another class coming up here next month in May, because I'm signed up for that course. So yep. So if anybody's listening, there's that option as well.
It's great to hear. Yeah, you get to meet Danielle, I would imagine, or maybe it's not Danielle. So that's the thing. You can get a variety of different trainers, but
yep.
I'm stoked to hear that you're going to be on that, and let me know how it goes. I'm definitely interested in your feedback.
Yeah, I'll report back on that. So, Mike, what about if we've got somebody that's John and I are both fortunate enough to be in an area where we're involved with different clubs and organizations that are affiliated with Tread Lightly. If somebody's listening to us and they've got a club or a group of folks that they ride with and no one is a Tread Lightly member or has any affiliation, and they want to start making that part of their club effort, mm-hmm. Who should they reach out to? What's the first steps to get involved with that?
Yeah, really the best way is to get onto our website, treadlightly.org. And there's literally a tab that says become a member, and it has all the information you need. And if you have more questions, you can contact Mandy, who actually happens to report to me, because I do head up the membership side as well. Mandy's a great person. She's one of the probably the longest she's the second longest person or third longest person that's been with Tread Lightly. So she definitely knows the ins and outs of membership. But any questions you have, you can also, there's a contact us form on Tread Lightly, on the treadlightly.org, or you can reach out to us on social media. Communications team will get with somebody to make sure that you're getting the right answers for what you need. We have varying forms of club membership, so we should certainly talk if there's something beyond what you see on the webpage.
Cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome.
So probably a great time to segue into the different types of memberships that we have. There's lots of opportunities out there, especially for clubs. There's the $100, $200. There's also a new club level that we just started that there's really no price tied to it. It's kind of a customized partnership for clubs. It's called the Affiliated Club Partner. No, what do we call it? Affiliated Club Partnership. Yeah. So the partnership side allows them to get their logo on the website. Usually larger clubs that have clubs underneath them are the ones that are typically looking for that recognition, as well as it provides a discount for their clubs that are underneath them. So now the club membership is cheaper for the affiliated clubs. So definitely want to talk to you larger clubs that have clubs underneath you. We want to grow this membership in the clubs, and I think it's a great opportunity to provide a benefit to the clubs that belong to your club. So examples would be like the Pacific Northwest Four-Wheel Drive Association. Many clubs underneath them. Trying to think of another example off the top of my head, but I can't think of one right now. But
Southern Four-Wheel Drive is the same way.
Yeah. Yes, and they're on my list. So tell them to give me a holler, because I'm definitely really interested in talking with them. There's a gentleman named Bo, right? Bo.
Yes, Bo. Yep. Bo was on here just a couple of weeks ago. Okay. So we'll make that connection happen.
Yeah, I believe I talked to Bo in the past, and I would love to reconnect with him.
Great. So that's clubs, but you've got individual memberships as well, correct?
Yep. Yeah. So we've got 25, 50, 100, and I got to look at my site. Sorry. That's horrible for me. But I can only say new guy things so many times.
The point being that it is extremely affordable, and it is not. Yes, you're paying to join this club, and your money is going to these campaigns and to all kinds of good uses. But you get some benefits as an individual member as well. And I promise we didn't plan this. Mike doesn't even know I'm going to mention this, but I just got an email from Mandy at 12:44 this afternoon with all these new membership benefits that are now available. And I'm talking like $250 off iCampers, 25% off from Axle Off-Road, tire rebates from Firestone. Like it's more than my membership cost in benefits.
It is. Yeah. One of my favorite ones is the Onyx Off-Road one, where you get the you get a very significant discount on, you know, the high-end package. It's so cheap. It almost pays for itself by becoming a member. But yeah, there's that, you know, $25, $50, $100, and $250 level. And everyone, as it goes up, you get more stuff. Plus, you get a free shirt if you get the $50, and you get a sweatshirt if you do the $250. So there's something to wear, too. And you get some discounts at our store, depending on what level you get. Hmm. And right now is a great time to join as well, because we've got our Protect the Fund giveaway going on right now. And for every, depending on what level you become a member, or great segue, depending on what level you become a member is how many entries you get into the giveaway. But we're partnering with Holly Fowler, and just, it's going to be a killer build. A lot of great manufacturers, as you can see there. Mischief Maker, JKU is her Instagram handle. And her and her husband, Walter, are building this vehicle for us. And this is our third year with them. And the membership numbers have moved. We've moved the needle big time with these giveaways. So it's a great time. And again, you get entered into it today. If you become, between now and when we do the giveaway, you get entered into the contest to win this Jeep. So yep. Great opportunity.
And if you're already a member, you can donate and get entries as well. You don't have to be a new member to put in for this giveaway, which is, I believe, the prize value is over $90,000. I mean, these Jeeps aren't cheap. And then you've got just a ton of modifications going on to this thing.
Yeah, it's going to have tons on it. 42 stickies. The list just goes on and on. It's going to be long armed, of course, you know. And we're adding more manufacturers actually here in a few days that I can't say. But there's a lot of great, even more products, four or five more manufacturers going on it. So we're really stoked. Another opportunity, too, if you already are a member, and maybe you don't want to, push your membership past that year mark. We've got a hoodie and a T-shirt that you can buy that's limited edition. That's got kind of a sketched version of this Jeep.
Oh, it's really cool. I saw a picture of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So that gives you entries as well. So I can't win, but I still bought the shirts. So that's how much I like the shirts. Like, yeah, I need one of those hoodies. So. But yeah, man, we're stoked for this build and we're going to have it at all through the show circuit here starting in May. So Holly started building it here like just this last week. So lots of parts are filing in and we're stoked for it.
And you guys have done a couple of these now. I mean, it's relatively new, I believe, over the past few years, these vehicle mm-hmm. giveaways, but obviously it's been an astounding success.
Yeah, I think what was so exciting about last year's build is we gave away a Gladiator, a Can-Am Maverick, and a trailer to haul it with. And this is a great story. So the young lady that won it, she wanted to buy a 392 and wanted to order one. And of course, like in that 23 era at the beginning of the year, you didn't have all these crazy discounts and all that stuff like you have. Well, she wanted the discount. So one of our discounts with Tread Lightly as a member is that you can then you can get a discount at 1% below dealer invoice with $100 individual membership. So she went ahead and did that. She just happened to be in Utah visiting her husband who was working out there and says, I'm buying one of these. So she went home waiting for her vehicle to come and we gave her a call. She won that Gladiator, the Can-Am and the trailer, and she had one entry in. So wow. It's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. That's all it takes. So we got to meet her, her wonderful family, her wonderful, I mean, it was exciting and she was in the South Carolina area. So, really excited. Yeah. So, I mean, all it takes is one ticket to win. So, definitely encourage you to become a member. Try to win that Jeep. It's pretty cool. I wish I could win it. Yeah, I drew over it when we're looking at all the build images and all the products. And I was out to EJS interviewing all the sponsors. And I'm like, man, this is going to be such an awesome build. So I'm stoked for it, for sure.
Yeah, you know, I've seen obviously a lot of different companies give away vehicles, and even off-road. But they're almost always just stock. Like you said, you don't see somebody take a Jeep, put a set of one tons under it and then put it up for raffle. Like that's cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to have the half doors. It's got PRP seats. I mean, the list just goes on and on. I mean, it's just every aftermarket part we could throw at it. And if we were partnered with them or if Holly and Walter were partnered with them, we made it happen. So it's good stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
we're awesome. So one thing that I'm sure my daughter will eventually be a part of is the TL Kids program, mm-hmm. which is how you can educate young adventurers. So I'm curious about that. If you could talk a little bit about that and if there's a minimum age sure. requirement.
No, sign her up today, please.
Is that two entries or?
there you go. It could be. So, so this is something the team did a little bit before I came on board, but I'm really excited about it because, who you're seeing there is Lightfoot, and Lightfoot was kind of a reincarnation of some different characters they've had over the years. And it really hits home, you know, again, it's all about sustainability and getting the message out. So who better to hit than some of the kids right from the ground floor who are more than likely going out with their parents anyways. Mm-hmm. This is a different approach. So we created coloring books that we give away a lot of the events. Just recently, and you might have saw it, the Overland Expo Foundation is going to have at all the Overland Expos their kids' education course, which they've developed with us. And kids are going to be able to drive around, depending on which age, Jeeps, little Barbie Jeeps or Jeeps, you know, as well as RC cars. And, you know, depending on their age with their parents, and they're going to get an education about the Tread Pledge that Lightfoot's got here on your screen. So good stuff. You know, we know attention spans are kind of short, so it's going to be a trial by error, you know, and kind of figure out how it goes. But we're excited that Overland Expo Foundation sponsored us on that. They've also sponsored us with some grant opportunities as well that we're going to utilize this year for some projects and stewardship projects. So they're a great partner of ours, and we've been utilizing them as a strategic partner for quite a few years.
Cool. That's awesome. Yeah, it's, I feel like if you can educate young, it becomes just part of the way that you interact outdoors. It's not something that you have to learn as an adult and try. It just becomes part of you. Yeah. So it's awesome that there's something out there for the younger folks.
Hey, everyone. Davey here. I'm interrupting the show just for a second. So we've been at this for a little over a year now, and some of you have been following us from day one, and we greatly appreciate that. Others, you found it as we've kind of gone along and found our format and continue to put out this content, and I really hope that you're enjoying it. So if you are, this is the part where I ask you to do us a favor. If you're on YouTube, give us a like, give us a subscribe if you haven't, and what really helps is if you can leave some comments there in the block below. If you're listening to this on a podcast format and you can do a rating or review there, we'd greatly appreciate that as well. All right, back to the show. Mike, we were talking earlier about the volunteers and how that really kind of drives everything. So let's talk a little bit, if we can, about these stewardship opportunities and the best way for folks to get plugged in their local area. I mean, we see a lot of things on Instagram and Facebook, events that are happening, but where can folks find out about these events ahead of time so that they can be a part of it?
Great question. Yeah. I mean, I can't stress enough, become a member first. I mean, that's the number one thing you can do, because then it allows us to communicate with you via email and then share all the projects that we have going on. Even in the last year, our program managers, because we have so many of them, I wish we had more, but I mean, we have so many of them, they're reaching out on a regional hot map saying, hey, we've got a project in Pennsylvania. We want to grab a circle 100 miles wide and bring some people in. And it's working. We're moving the needle, getting people in. But the other thing you can do is keep an eye on our social media, our Facebook page, as well as Instagram. Also, if you go to our webpage, treadlightly.org, and just check out events, all of our stewardship projects are in there. There'll be links to Eventbrite. And if, when you go to Eventbrite, you can also subscribe to our Eventbrite. So you'll get notifications from Eventbrite on how to get to those projects or what projects are available. You know, when we're doing 271 projects every year, there's a lot of stuff going on, and they're just starting to build up. Just even here in Michigan, we've kicked out 3-4 projects already this year alone, you know, and every day we're adding new projects. So keep an eye on those things. The information's right at your fingertips. You can get to it real easily. Just got to go through a few steps, and looking forward to seeing everybody out there for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, you were talking about getting these corporate sponsors involved and how a lot of times it's a match between the corporate sponsors and the volunteer hours or volunteer dollars, whatever it may be, that are coming into it. And so that kind of goes to these grants that you have set up. And I want to talk about those. You've got a couple of them. And I'll start with this BFG Tire grant. But these are really, from what I understand, geared towards supporting. You don't have to be some huge club or organization. You can be really a small kind of grassroots level group that whatever it is that you need financial assistance with, whether it's buying the trash bags or food for the volunteers, there's opportunities to get that from BFG.
It's funny you say that because literally right here in my home state, Michigan, this weekend, we've got a cleanup project that it's from Wicked Jeep Southeast Michigan. And they applied for this grant through us with some guidance. And we immediately went in there like, this is a no-brainer. We're going to – they've moved up to times three dumpsters full and a semi-truck full of trailer tires. So, holy cow. It can be – yeah. So there's a lot of illegal dumping going on. I mean, obviously – off-roaders aren't driving around with their tires on the back of their ATVs to dump them out in the middle of the woods, typically, or refrigerators, you know, or boats for that matter. So, you know, we're just trying to get trash out of the woods and you know, off-roaders are just as big of conservationists as anybody else. Actually, I feel sometimes we're probably more conservation friendly than anybody else out there, but you know, maybe I'm a little biased as well. So, yeah, so clubs are taking advantage of that. Exactly, the BFG Outstanding Trails Program. You know, so that's a program that Tread Lightly runs for BFG. So we're screening all those requests as they come in. I definitely encourage all you clubs out there to go out there, apply. There's funds out there that you can use. So like we donated $250 to that cause, and it allowed them to buy all the trash bags, some water, some pickup sticks. Lot of stuff that they can use to get that event going. So big or small, let us know for sure.
Yeah, unfortunately, like you said, a lot of this trash and trail cleanup is just we have to do more of it than we'd like, but we're happy to do it. We've got some friends south of us in Alabama, the Rocket City Rock Crawlers and Heart of the South Cruisers, and those guys worked to pull a abandoned F-150 that had basically been like dropped in a creek bed there. And they've been sawzalling it out and dragging it out in pieces because if not, it wasn't going to get done.
Yeah.
And they didn't do it. These are the guys that aren't going to post it on Facebook and Instagram, which makes it that much better that they're just out there to make it that much better for their community.
That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, just over the years, you know, and it's funny you say that. I just got a call from my buddy Steve Risk over. He's in Daytona right now, but he's spent a lot of time at AOAA up in Pennsylvania. And he says, hey, got another cleanup for you. I guess there's a Grand Cherokee that burned to the ground out there last weekend. And so I think we're going to have to rip that one out. And we actually have a guy going to AOAA tomorrow to go check it out. And he's got some other stuff to do as well. So, yeah. So there's a whole network of Tread Lightly people out there, right? And it's growing as we've grown, and it's exciting, but these grant opportunities are huge. You know, and corporate partnerships are very big for us. You know, I don't know if you guys know, but we work with Fox Trail Trust, which is a division of Fox Racing, and you know, all that, and Can-Am, Bronco Fund, Overland Expo, like I talked about earlier, Real Truck sponsored some, trail projects out in Easter Jeep Safari, as well as the SEMA organization. So that's just a small portion. We've got well over 200 corporate partners that we work with every year. And the whole team's responsible in working on that stuff with those corporate organizations. And man, it's a lot of effort, but it's so worth it. It's again, it's another third of that funding that we've got to pull from and use to keep this machine rolling. So.
What about this, the Quadratech 50 for 50 program? That's been going on for a minute now, trying to hit all 50 states. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we're just about to wrap up this thing. Honestly, I think we're maybe only one away. So we work on what we call impact reports, and it's compiling all the information from every stewardship project, and then it becomes this big document that we fill out. And long story short, we've got about 9 of the projects done. We just haven't provided them yet to the information to our team. So I think we're on 49, maybe even 50 is done, but that's been just over a year with Quadratech. They came into us and said, hey, we're going to give this much money. Let's get 50 states done, 50 projects, go team. And we did. I mean, we got it done. It was like challenge accepted. And so we've even done projects in North Dakota. It's like, really? Holy cow. I didn't know they off-road in North Dakota. Sure enough, they totally do. I mean, they have flat fender runs out there and all this fun stuff. And they're not that far from the Badlands, too. So it makes a lot of sense, you know. But Yeah, I mean, there's some challenging areas where maybe there's not as much public land, but we made it happen. It's I'm very proud of the team. This was started before I even came in, and man, they led it all the way through. They were actually out with us at Easter Jeep Safari a couple weeks ago as well, and even though it wasn't one of the 50-50s, they were still pitching in, helping out that whole team from QuaderTech. So definitely appreciate them.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I was going to say, shout out to the Dakotas, our buddy Wes, Black Hills Builds. I was just talking about the wheeling opportunities out there.
Oh, gosh.
I think this is just Davey talking out loud here, but a lot of times when you think of Tread Lightly and you think of these events and programs, a lot of them are in the western half of the U.S., and mm-hmm. That's where, as we all know, the majority of our public land lies. So, you know, there is a lot of attention that happens out there and needs to happen out there. But Tread Lightly is a national organization. And as Mike's been talking about here, wherever you are in the Southeast and the Northeast, in the Heartland, if there's an opportunity that you see, whether it's trail cleanup, trail maintenance, another way that you think Tread Lightly needs to get involved, and you don't know anybody else, pick up the phone and call them. They're all nice folks like Mike. They will direct you to someone that can help you get involved.
Yeah, we are a very passionate organization. I would say we're all enthusiasts, some in varying levels, but. You know, some of them just need trail therapy. We just want to get out and help and get out there and be away from our desk. And yeah, give us a holler. We need projects. There's no shortage of things that we need to do out east. That's it, when we say east of the Mississippi.
Right.
And because there's so much going on, like you said, to the west side of the U.S. And there's hotbeds over there that we don't even need to get into today. I mean, it's a whole nother monster over that way. And definitely very important to us, no doubt about it. And our relationships with BLM out there are bar none, some of the best. And, you know, our ability to get things done with the Forest Service, BLM, even your state, counties, townships, that's why we're a powerhouse when it comes to getting these projects executed. Is we spent the last 30 years doing this, 35 years almost. So it's there's like, we have this method of getting through to them and relationship building, and tie that with the corporate partnerships and our membership base. And we're just a powerhouse to get this stuff done. So, but even off-road parks, we just talked about AOAA a few minutes ago up in Pennsylvania. We've done projects there a lot, and, you know, even though it's a private park, it's still public land. You know, we want to make sure that that's getting cleaned up, and that's a whole other beast too, because anybody can come in there in the back way, you know? So, and that's all reclaimed area from the coal mining industry. So, and a lot of our off-road areas are reclaimed areas. So,
yeah. Yes.
I definitely encourage everybody to get involved and read up on the Tread principles. They're a guiding way for us to recreate responsibly and just encourage you to get involved. It's the D of Tread Lightly. Do your part.
Yeah. You kind of touched on it, Mike, with the private versus public, but there are some folks that are of the opinion that if it's private land, Tread principles don't apply. It's just a free for all. This is where the personal responsibility factor comes into it. And it's not about trying to shame folks, rather educate mm-hmm. because my buddy, Andy Ridge, that I was riding with this weekend, he made a comment. He said, you know, I've been wheeling out here for 35 years, and sometimes I forget that the guy behind me, it may be his day one. And that really kind of hit home for me that there sure. is a, we all are, responsible for educating those around us.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a no man left behind mentality that all of us off-roaders have. You know, it's educating and creating that culture, right? And then again, like, not to bring it up again, but you know, that UTV market doesn't quite have that culture that we have, maybe necessarily in the full size market. And that's our job to educate them. Listen, yes. I was just at a project last week in Northern Michigan up by the Indian River area, and had this gentleman that I've been working with on the UTV side. He came up to me and he was with roughly 40 UTV guys. Man, they were just so appreciative of everything that we were doing as full-sizers to keep the trails open. We were trimming trails, picking trash up, putting new signs up there. And these UTVers were stoked. Now, granted, I had a bunch of Can-Am stuff, and I'm like, hey, who's got a Can-Am out there? You know, we were handing stuff out, but it was still great. I mean, they give me a card. I want to learn how to join and all that. So they want to keep it open too. So, I mean, we just all need to be together as one large group and one large voice to keep these trails open and work together and follow these tread principles. I mean, it's the most important thing. And that'll guide us to, you know, be one big, large group to move forward and speak together. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, definitely. I agreed all with all this prior to coming to working for Tread Lightly, and I was passionate enough about it that I definitely wanted to work here. So, it's viral. I mean, we're definitely growing, and it's, man, you just can't slow us down right now. We are stoked. So it's good stuff. You know, back to what you were saying really quick, just to touch back on that in the private parks. You know, we do know there are areas that it is an open scramble area. That's back to the E of Tread Lightly. Educate yourself. Know what you're doing and where you can do that when you want to do that. You know, there might be an open scramble area in your public land as well. We have one in Michigan that we go to a lot. It's just an open area, but you've got to know that. You can't just go off trail and blaze trails when it's not allowed in your area. So that's all. It's the E. Educate yourself.
Yeah. Well, before we wrap up here and John leads us into the rapid fire, I want to talk about some wins, right? Yeah. So this popped up on my Facebook feed, I believe it was, or Instagram. So there's a very famous trail, Trail 42 out in Arizona, the St. Clair off-roading area. And it closed years ago. I believe it was a fire that originally closed it. Yeah. And then, as we all know, it's a lot easier for them to close trails than to reopen them. And
RIP Franklin State.
The forest is one we've been working on out here that we lost access to. But the point of this story is, after 17 years of persistence, they had this big grand opening out there just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, it's a cool deal. So, you know, hats off to the Tonto Recreation Alliance. That this is their heavy lifting. You know, they brought Tread Lightly in just to help them through this as far as, you know, being part of that. And, you know, we're obviously very proud of part of that reopening. But, you know, they're using Tread Lightly educational messaging. And that was part of the plan, you know, to help alleviate and keep that. Like, here's our plan. We're going to use this messaging and the education signing, and it just helped aid the reopening. And, you know, education, back to that same pillar we keep talking about, it's a very important aspect to this, and there's different forms of that. We do educating when we're doing stewardship projects or trail conservation projects, but it's also through kiosk and signage, or we can educate you online. There's different ways we can do that, but it's all tied to communication. So it's just one big circle, right? And, you know, that's why they were able to do that. We're part of the reason. We're not the only reason. Definitely the Tonto Recreation Alliance they did all the heavy lifting on that. So we're just proud to be part of it.
Yeah, congrats to them. That's really, really awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You gotta give if you pull that back up, you gotta give a shout out to it. Looks like a solid axle swapped Lexus Hyundai, which
that may be a solid axle swap, John. That's a good eye there.
I don't know why else you would trim the fenders up that high. My suspension doesn't travel that much.
Yeah. If this is your solid axle swap 100 series, reach out to us on Instagram. Let's talk about it.
I did some looking on that page quite a bit prior to this call, and man, there's a lot of sweet Toyotas in that and on those tied to this whole group. So you guys might want to look into them for sure.
Awesome. That's awesome. So, Davey, I'm going to take your last question.
Okay.
I'm a little bit of a show-me-the-numbers guy, is the curse of engineering, Mike, as I'm sure you know.
Oh, yeah.
The impact report. Yeah. I love this. Tell me about it. Tell me everything. How do you get the data? How do you collect it? How do you present it? What's it all about?
Sure. So this is my proud parent moment. And, you know, as one of the leaders of the team, you know, we definitely like to compile this and share this with as many people as possible. And, you know, every one of the program managers, as they complete a project, they fill out an impact report compiling this information for every project. And then one of my team members then brings it all together into one document. And then we put this out quarterly. As a matter of fact, her name's Jerrica. Hats off to Jerrica. She's working on that document right now for the first quarter of the year. So we put this out yearly, bookended by the calendar. And 271 projects. This is the one that's really cool because this runs through my team too. For me, is 641 educational signs. That's everything from a sign that says "Stay on the Trail" to full bore huge kiosks that we put up that we need cranes to put kiosks up. So it's every type of communication and education sign that's out there. Very, very important to us. You know, we don't always like to be known as the trash pickup people, but it's a big part of what we do every day too. It can't just all be fences and kiosks. Trash pickups are very, very important to us. So 241,000 pounds of trash. I mean, that's
That was the number that stood out to me. And if you're, some folks listen to this and don't watch it. So if you can't see the numbers there, nearly a quarter million pounds of trash removed from public lands.
Absolutely.
That's insane. It's sad that you can even pick up that much.
Unfortunately, trash weighs a lot sometimes. So it's definitely, there's a lot of trash out there though, too. So, and the other, just a few other numbers really quick is, you know, the 3,000 volunteers that speaks volume to the passion and compassion that this industry has and, you know, off-road enthusiasts have. They want to come out and do their part. And we obviously always want to see that number grow, but man, just imagine 3,000 people throughout the whole year have been helping out and doing their part on the trails. So, and then, just communication is another pillar that's very important to us. So I went back and asked Jerrica, like, how do you calculate the 48 million impressions? That's everything from, we've got a poster program, we've got our social media, we've got our website, we've got our Treadlines newsletter, which, again, Jerrica would be mad if I didn't say this. Get out there and subscribe to our Treadlines newsletter. It's out there on our Facebook, or sorry, on our webpage at treadlightly.org. You can go in there, just put your email in, and you'll get all the information, regardless if you're a member or not. So treadlightly.org, subscribe to our newsletter, Treadlines. So that's a big part of what we do. And then, you know, we're always educating people with the 814 online courses that people have taken, and lots of tread trainers too. So,
amazing.
Well, yeah, it's our report card. Every year we put it out, right? And, you know, there's nowhere to go but up. I will say our number won't be as high this year because we're not backing off projects. We're just trying to maybe do some larger projects. So maybe that number is going to be closer to 200 this year. Can't guarantee, but we always say that, but I can guarantee it's going to be maybe a little bit more than 200, but who knows?
Sometimes it's got to be quality over quantity. I mean,
sure. And they were all quality projects.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely quality projects last year. I mean, we rocked it, but it was, you know, like maybe we do one or two less trash pickups and do one big fence project, you know, or something like that. So just strategically we just see that there's a lot of corporate partners that want to do those types of projects as well. So, but there's always trash pickups. There's always no shortage of trash to pick up out there for sure.
Amazing.
Very cool.
Yep.
Yeah. 5,622 current new or renewing members. This is as of, if you're listening to this, December 31st, 23.
Yeah, and that number is very cyclic. So as we do these Protect the Fund giveaways, those numbers go way up when we introduce those. And then because they're reoccurring, you know, every 12 months, the numbers may go up or down. So that number is much, much higher right now. So I don't know off the top of my head, but I know it's more than 5,600. So
awesome.
Well, yeah. This is, you know, a lot of people with a lot of charities and nonprofits want to know where the money's going. And that's you know, that's a fair question. And I like the fact that you guys put this impact report out there, and it really very detailed as to everything that's occurring.
Yeah, it's so important. 90 cents of every dollar, this is official, 90 cents of every dollar goes back to this, what you're seeing here, what you're hearing here on the podcast. So that's a good return rate for your money.
Well, the trails. That's funny you say that. And Mike and I didn't talk about this beforehand, but I was going to say, if you're a bit of a, come from a corporate finance background like myself, you can go pull the 990 for Tread Lightly, and all the raw data is there, and it all backs up to that. So it's very, very, very good numbers to see.
Cool. Thanks for doing your homework.
Yeah. All right. All right, John, you ready to walk us through this rapid fire session?
Yes. And I will say I took the first question so I could take the third.
Oh.
We'll know when we get there.
Okay.
All right. Go-to camp meal.
Ooh, so I've been recently, so we do a lot of deer hunting in my family. Outdoors is a big part of what we do. So I tend to bring some wild game with me. So, but I like to cook easy, get in and get out. So I like to do like a venison backstrap cooked in some butter and then throw some rice in there and cook it all like an instant rice. So that's my kind of go-to meal right now. It might change this year. It's just starting to get warm in Michigan. But last few overland events I've done, I'm definitely doing that meal. So definitely some venison.
There's a really nice state park just outside of Nashville.
Okay.
If you're interested in coming down and going.
Yeah, let's connect. Definitely. I could be interested in that. I need some time to myself. So
that's funny. I would love how you said it like it was just such an easy, like you were making a sandwich, just a little venison backstrap and some rice. And
yeah. I mean, we try to shoot three deer every year. I have twin boys. They're 18. I'm really proud of them. They're both in college right now. One's studying trades, and the other one's going to be a welding engineer. And really excited that they're out there doing that. But, man, we've over COVID, we did a lot of deer hunting. So that frees our soul, and we love to eat venison in my family. So we definitely like to – and then cooking outdoors, you got to have venison. It's just really important. So
yeah. Yeah, the couple of guys that I keep up with from my Bosch days routinely send me Snapchats of them going out hunting deer. So –
yeah, that's just what we do, man. Michigan, I mean, we love it.
It's awesome.
Mike, what is your bucket list adventure location?
Oof, this is a tough one because I've been to some places now. So I want to answer this question with just telling you about a cool trip we did make. We took a trip from Michigan all the way to the Rubicon. And by the way, I took my two twin sons with me. They turned 16 on the Rubicon Trail. We had the rooftop tent on top of the JL and ran the Rubicon with that.
Nice.
And then they were able to drive in my Jeep on the Rubicon. And then we turned around and drove up to the Beartooth Highway and ran a Jeep Jamboree up there with those guys on the Beartooth Highway, as well as the Morrison Jeep Pass before it was all eroded down to nothing. So that's a tough one to pass, you know, to say that's not the bucket list because I got to run it already. And then we drove all the way back to Michigan. We did 5,200 miles or something like that.
Holy cow.
It was quite the trip. I was ready to get out of that Jeep for sure. but, you know, so that was definitely one. I honestly want to get – I want a road trip down to Moab and actually take my time and get down that way, try to avoid as many public highways as I can and just meander around. But there's so much to see in Michigan that I feel like we've just touched, just gracing the touching surface, you know, on what we can do here. So that's the beauty of living where I live in Southeast Michigan. I can be to a lot of places really quick. And it seems like it's so far away, but it's really not. And like Nashville, right? So There's my bucket list. I want to hit that state park down in Nashville.
All right. My favorite question, Milwaukee or DeWalt?
So I am a DeWalt guy.
Woo!
And
it's with the Jeep.
Oh, man. Yeah, the reality is I've been – I'm an older gentleman, so DeWalt was like the brand, right, for years. Yeah. And Milwaukee was like, but don't get me wrong. I just don't want to switch now. Like I'm so deep into it that, so I've got all their packs and all that stuff too. So
I haven't fact checked this, but I did read that Milwaukee like trademarked the Sawzall name.
Okay.
So if you have like a Sawzall that's not a Milwaukee, it's actually a reciprocating Sawzall.
Well, John, I will give credit where credit is due here to Milwaukee, and I'm with Mike. Maybe some of us that are a little bit older, maybe a little bit wiser, are on that team DeWalt. The one Milwaukee tool I have that I got 17 years ago when we got married, I got it as a wedding gift from a good friend of the family, is a Sawzall. A Milwaukee plug-in. This was before cordless Sawzall. And if folks that are in Nashville knows that back in 2010, we had a terrible flood here. And all of those things were in a basement. All of my power tools that flooded about 3 feet high. And we lost wedding photos, lost furniture, lost everything. But all of my tools were in there. And all of those power tools were toast, with the exception of that Milwaukee Sawzall that I used the other weekend. You just cannot kill those. Now that was a made in USA. Let me make sure that's clear. That's old Milwaukee. Hey. That's old Milwaukee. But yeah, I'll give them credit on the Sawzall.
Yeah, it's bad. You're in the garage, so you can see everything is red in here. So
yeah, definitely. I will say, so I bought some different levels of DeWalt, and definitely the Made in USA DeWalts are so much better too. Oh my gosh, it's a game changer for sure. It's day and night. But so typical overlander, typical off-roader. I'm so cheap that I actually bought the adapter to use Harbor Freight power cordless tools too, so I can use the DeWalt batteries. Because like
we're
like,
so cheap, they're so cheap.
We are so cheap. But how often do you use a hedge trimmer? You know, until I started working for Tread Lightly, and then we use them the brush trails. But regardless, so it was like I'm not going to buy a DeWalt hedge trimmer. I'm sorry. So
yeah, hey, shout out Harbor Freight. I picked up one of those Bauer surface prep tools. That's the clone of the Eastwood. And that thing did the job last week. So
yeah.
I mean, this is a Harbor Freight box full of.
That's true. I have a Harbor Freight box. I'm
totally with you, man. I'm a club member, so it's like
same. My membership expires in May. They're like, hey, do you want to buy it again? I'm like, I'm gonna wait till May. I shop at Harbor Freight.
Yeah, and I give my phone number to all my family members too. Getting that dollar's worth.
There you go.
Oh, man.
all right. Segue to back in the Jeep, Mike, if you've got one album, you can only listen to one album while you're out wheeling for the day. You've got that album on repeat. What's it going to be?
This is a tough one, Davey. Man, because I'm an early 90s guy, right? So you know how the early 90s music was so like everywhere.
It was all over the place.
Yeah. So I'm gonna throw out album and say playlist because you know
that's a lot fair. Of playlists. Yeah.
So I have my playlist is called Mandatory Metallica, and it's like anything to do with Metallica, and it's forever. It literally doesn't repeat the same song for hours and hours and hours. So let's just go with Metallica, Mandatory Metallica playlist. But I'll add a little clause to this, so like an asterisk. If it's during hunting season, it's definitely Ted Nugent and Fred Bear. It's definitely what we listen to.
The Nuge. Yeah. All right. So, I'll go with that.
Yeah.
So, you know, Michigan man as well, right?
So, exactly. But Metallica everywhere else. So.
All right. Last question.
All right.
Favorite national park?
So this is kind of timely. Just last fall, I took a trip out to the Yellowstone and the Tetons, and we went out there for about 9 days to celebrate our 25th wedding anniversary. And
congrats!
Yeah, thanks. And we got to spend a lot of time out there. And honestly, I was more in awe with the Tetons. I loved Yellowstone, But the hiking on the Tetons was just amazing. So got to go with the Tetons. That's so far. And I've been to Bryce Canyon. I've been, you know, hiked the Narrows. So, I mean, there's a lot of great national parks out there. But right now, the Tetons are my favorite.
We are very fortunate. We
took a family vacation to Yellowstone, and we drove through the Tetons. And that took me back to the road where you can see them.
Yeah.
And it's hard to forget. So
yeah, that's where we went hiking. We did the whole valley hike all the way through. And listen, we're from Michigan. I think we're, 50 feet above sea level. So it took me about 3 days to get used to that elevation. Whew. But once we got dialed in, it was pretty good, you know. But as you get closer to 50, it's a lot tougher. So
yeah,
it's tough, man. But we trudged through it and had a great time. And it was a trip of a lifetime. But we're going to hit a lot more national parks here in the future. That's on our bucket list. So
it's awesome. Sweet.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, this has been great, Mike. We appreciate the kind of history and education lesson here. And anybody that's watching or listening, I would encourage you to either as a personal member or as a club member, become a part of Tread Lightly and immerse yourself in everything they've got going on. If you're if you've got, I'm going to throw this out there. If you've got events, if you've got cleanups or anything going on around the country that you need help getting the word out, reach out to John or myself, and we'll be happy to pass those opportunities along as we can help as well.
Yeah, please do. And thanks for giving us some time to give me some time to talk about Tread Lightly, Davey and John. And like I said, check out treadlightly.org and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We even have a TikTok now, so make sure you follow us on TikTok.
Hey. So you're not too old for TikTok. Do you run the TikTok, Mike?
I do not run the TikTok. No. I have people that are much younger than I on the TikTok. So
yeah, I'm not up on that. John's probably got a secret TikTok account we don't know about.
Oh, I bet he does.
Yeah.
I would love to see TikTok run by Mike for a week.
It would be zany. Good. It would be pretty crazy, but I like reels, you know, so we just take a lot of our reels and shove them into TikTok, and it works, sure. You know, but is it TikTok optimized? Probably not, but it gets the job done, you know, but we love our reels. We're always collecting content on the trails when we're doing these projects and stuff, and it's fun stuff, definitely. So we're a pretty decent follow. Make sure you follow us on Instagram and Facebook.
There you go. All right. Cool. Thanks, Mike.
All right, guys. All right. See you on the trail.
All right. See you on the trail.
See you. Bye.